From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian Vice President says halal business must unite Muslim countries. Asian Development Bank approves $180 million loan for Pakistan. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said halal business must unite Muslim countries in an increasingly polarized world. Vice President Ma'ruf at the Global Muslim Business Forum in Kuching, Malaysia on Tuesday evening said, economic and trade activities from halal business is able to ensure various global challenges and increase the prosperity of Muslims in various corners of the world.
Saya mengajak seluruh pemimpin yang hadir pada forum ini untuk memperluas dan memperkuat kerjasama.
I invite all leaders present at this forum to expand and strengthen cooperation in realizing inclusive economic growth. Our cooperation and collaboration must embrace more countries and prioritize the principles of equal, inclusive, and mutually beneficial partnerships with planning and effective and efficient implementation. The Vice President also invited Muslim countries to unite their vision and mission regarding the future development direction of the global halal industry. He hopes that ASEAN can become a pioneer of an integrated halal hub ecosystem that can attract investment. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati on Tuesday said the government is using the state budget as a fiscal instrument to respond to digital needs. According to Minister Indrawati, digital technology can transform the economy. Hence, the government is keen to use the state budget to build infrastructure and educational programs to support the digital sector. The minister said digital development has both advantages and challenges. The emergence of artificial intelligence is said to carry the risk of disrupting human jobs. However, she further said, with the right response, AI can be used to script social transformation. Next, we have the Indonesian Ministry of Health, which is raising vigilance against the risk of a mysterious pneumonia outbreak in China by taking several measures. The ministry's head of Communication and Public Service Bureau, Siti Nadia Tarmizi, stated in Jakarta on Tuesday, the other vigilance measure is conducting supervision against food. In addition, the ministry has in place influenza-like illness and severe acute respiratory infection surveillance system. She noted that influenza-like illness and severe acute respiratory infection surveillance is conducted at first-level health facilities, such as community health centers or puskesmas, to monitor symptoms that are similar to influenza. The National Food Agency, or BAPANAS, encourages collaboration from various parties ranging from ministries and agencies, regional organizations to experts and academics in developing potential functional food sources. BAPANAS Director of Food and Nutrition Awareness, Nita Yuliani, stated, "Food and nutrition security had always been a national strategic issue, as fulfilling food needs is the right of every citizen." Next, we have the Indonesian Ministry of Health that has allocated 16 billion rupiah, or around $1 million, for trials involving the use of mosquitoes with Wolbachia to check dengue spread in 5 cities of Indonesia. The Ministry of Health issued the Health Minister's Decree No. 1341 of 2022 on the implementation of pilot projects of dengue handling with Wolbachia. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said during a working meeting with Commission 9 of the House of Representatives, which was followed online from Jakarta on Tuesday, the method involving the use of mosquitoes with Wolbachia has been included in the National Strategy for Handling Dengue, which is being implemented in 5 cities, namely Semarang, West Jakarta, Bandung, Kupang, and Bontang. The last national news comes from Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, who highlighted the double standard in the application of international law concerning the aggression in Palestine. Minister Retno conveyed this message during the plenary meeting of the UN General Assembly on Tuesday in New York, which discussed the issue in Gaza. In her speech in front of the UN General Assembly, Minister Retno called for a permanent ceasefire, uninterrupted humanitarian aid, standing for justice, and starting the peace and political process. Now we move to the next news, international one, which also the last one, comes from the Asian Development Bank, said on Tuesday it had approved $180 million loan to improve water supply and solid waste management services in 2 cities in Pakistan's Punjab province. Asian Development Bank Director General for Central and West Asia, Yevgeny Zhukov, said in a statement that this project will help make municipal services in these 2 cities more sustainable, resilient, and less carbon intensive. The projects are for the cities of Rawalpindi and Bahawalpur, and the loan is part of a total of $10 billion, which donors pledged to Pakistan to help it recover from last year's devastating flood. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
listener, coming up next here is our today's commentary entitled Mosquitoes with Wolbachia Innovation to Fight Dengue Fever. Listeners, in a joint meeting with Commission 9 of the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin discussed the mosquitoes with Wolbachia innovation to reduce the number of dengue fever cases in Indonesia. At a meeting, Budi Gunadi said that interventions to defeat dengue fever in Indonesia for the last 50 years had not succeeded in reducing the number of cases to the minimum threshold for global frequency. According to World Health Organization WHO guidelines, the minimum threshold is 10 per 100,000 cases of the total population. However, the frequency of dengue fever in Indonesia is currently at 28.5 per 100,000 population. The Indonesian government has taken various steps to reduce the number of cases, including fumigation, killing mosquito larvae with the abate powder, and educating the public to keep the environment clean without standing water where mosquitoes can breed. Trillions of rupiah have been spent to deal with dengue virus transmission. The government's latest measure to tackle dengue fever is by dispersing mosquitoes carrying Wolbachia bacteria. The Aedes aegypti mosquito, which already contains the Wolbachia bacteria, no longer transmits the dengue virus to humans because the bacteria can paralyze the dengue virus in the mosquito's body. In the meeting at the House of Representatives, Budi Gunadi explained that the Ministry of Health would start a pilot project to spread the Wolbachia mosquito in 5 Indonesian cities. They are West Jakarta in the special capital region of Jakarta, Bandung in West Java, Semarang in Central Java, Bontang in East Kalimantan, and Kupang in East Nusa Tenggara. Meanwhile, the province of Bali expressed its rejection of the program because some people are concerned about this innovation's impact on the ecosystem in the future. Indeed, recently, there have been a lot of irresponsible hoaxes and wild rumors about the negative impacts of mosquitoes with Wolbachia circulating in Indonesian society. Facing local resistance to this program, the government should execute outreach as clearly and widely as possible to the people. In Indonesia, research on mosquitoes carrying Wolbachia bacteria has been carried out since 2011 in the special region of Yogyakarta, the region in the province that has proven successful in reducing dengue fever cases by up to 77% by using mosquitoes with Wolbachia is Bantul Regency. The effectiveness of using Wolbachia innovation to reduce the incidence of dengue fever has also been proven in 13 other countries, including Australia, Brazil, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, Fiji, and Mexico. Meanwhile, in Singapore, Wolbachia innovation is applied using a method of reducing the number of mosquito populations. Hopefully, with clear information, regions in Indonesia will no longer hesitate and be willing to implement this program so that all regions of the country can be free from dengue fever transmission. And listeners, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on November 29, 1971, which marks the establishment of Civil Service Corps of the Republic of Indonesia, or KORPRI. The Civil Service Corps of the Republic of Indonesia is an organization in Indonesia whose members consist of civil servants, employees of state-owned enterprises, regional-owned enterprises and their subsidiaries, and village government apparatus. Based on Presidential Decree No. 82 in 1971, KORPRI was founded on November 29, 1971, under President Suharto's administration. KORPRI was used as a tool of power to protect the government. However, since the Reformation era, KORPRI has changed into a neutral organization. It doesn't take sides with certain political parties. Let's move on to November 29, 1977, in which United Nations declares International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. International Day of Solidarity for the Palestinian people is celebrated on November 29 every year. The date refers to November 29, 1947, when the United Nations issued Resolution 181 regarding the division of the land of Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state of Palestine. However, disputes continue to occur between the Jews and Palestinian Arabs. Until 1977, the UN declared International Day of Solidarity for the Palestinian people. The UN invited people all over the world to stand with Palestine in the hope that one day this conflict could end and achieve a peaceful resolution. We enter in history with November 29, 2001, when George Harrison, guitarist of the legendary band The Beatles, died. Guitarist for the legendary band The Beatles, George Harrison, died on November 29, 2001 in Los Angeles, California, due to lung cancer. George Harrison died at the age of 58, and as a musician, George Harrison received many awards, including his tribute in the ranks of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004 and the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Awards in 2015. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Seperti burung yang sedang membuat sarang dari rumput dan ilalang, kususuri setiap keindahan di wajahmu, kusematkan rindu adalah perjalanan. Catatannya tertulis di langit malam, di telaga dan di ujung daun itu. Rindu mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang. Rindu mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang. Rindu mengekal menyebut namamu. Seperti burung yang sedang membuat sarang dari rumput dan ilalang, kususuri setiap keindahan di wajahmu, kusematkan
sama-sama. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Rindu adalah perjalanan mengurai waktu, menjelma pertemuan demi pertemuan. Catatannya tertulis di langit malam, di telaga dan mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang. Rindu rindu mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang. Rindu mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang, 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 berulang-ulang. Berulang-ulang, berulang-ulang, come on, say. Berulang-ulang, berulang-ulang, come on, say. Berulang-ulang, rindu mengekal menyebut namamu, rindu mengekal menyebut namamu, rindu mengekal menyebut namamu. Mengekal menyebut namamu berulang-ulang, 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 berulang-ulang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesia welcomes Austria in developing human resources in Indonesia. The Indonesian government welcomes the good intention of the Australian government who attended to develop cooperation with Indonesia and expand job opportunities, especially in 98 jobs very needed in Austria. That was stated by the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Manpower, Alfriansyah Nur, in a bilateral meeting with the Director General One of National Market Strategy of the Austrian Ministry for Labour and Economy, Jörg Konetzky, in Vienna, Austria, on Monday. The intention of the Austrian government was in line with a memorandum of understanding about manpower that includes vocational training internship in Austria and initiation of framework and placement of four skilled and professional migrants from Indonesia to Austria, which was signed by the Manpower Minister Ida Fauzia and Austrian Federal Minister for Economy and Manpower Martin Kocher in Jakarta, November last year. Alfriansyah Nur conveyed the Indonesian Manpower Ministry gave the highest appreciation for the Austrian government, which kept being committed to strengthen manpower development in Indonesia. According to Alfriansyah, the Manpower Ministry has communicated with Jörg Konetzky related to follow-up and implementation of the MOU. He also encouraged intensive communication to continue and decide concrete moves for cooperation information on the types of jobs needed in Austria, particularly effort for recognition and harmonization for Indonesian National Working Competency Standard and National Working Qualification, as well as realization of internship schemes for Indonesian citizens. Quoted from kemlu.co.id, Deputy Minister of Manpower appreciated Austria's support in developing work training center in several areas like Medan and Banyuwangi, expecting for continued bilateral cooperation in the work training sector. The two agreed about the importance of continuing cooperation to improve opportunities for Indonesian skilled manpower to access Austrian market that is facing deficiency in several sectors, such as in training development that can matter with Austrian qualification and competency standard. Regarding migrant worker placement from Indonesia or internship to Austria, the Ministry of Manpower hoped that the two countries to immediately coordinate to form joint working group as pilot project and ensure the implementation mechanism can follow the laws in the two countries. In his statement, Alfriansyah conveyed that Indonesian migrant workers have had quality as required, competent in working, diligent, friendly and loyal to the company. Avianca also mentioned that Indonesia is one of the countries that provides migrant workers in so many countries across the globe like Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, Germany, and other countries. In closing statement, Avianca explained that the placement of Indonesian micro workers used four schemes: government-to-government, private-to-private, inter-corporate transfership, and individual or independent placement. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata, tak dapat disentuh walau kau bisa menyentuhnya. Tak dapat dirasa walau seluruh ragamu di sana. Dapat kau menjaganya tanpa harus mengurungnya.
Bayangkan sebagai yang tak kasat mata.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata. Abu yang berterbangan tak dapat melukaimu. Panasnya surya bahkan membuatmu terbuai dan berlagu. Dan kau dapat menyusupi rongga jiwa yang kosong.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Semarang, Central Java, Indonesia, as the capital of Central Java. It's one of the tourism destination cities. Besides its culinary tourism, Semarang is famous for its tourist attractions that offer natural beauty. One of them is Umbul Sidomukti Tourism Spot, which offers many interesting choices of tourist activities. Umbul Sidomukti is a tourist facility owned by Siswono Yudo Husodo, which is situated in Sidomukti Jimbaran Village, Bandungan District, Semarang Regency, Central Java. From the downtown of Semarang to get to Umbul Sidomukti, it takes around 33 kilometers or about 1 hour's journey through the access of Jalan Raya Semarang Solo by motor vehicles. Quoting from its official website, Umbul Sidomukti has a real concept, namely recreation, education, adventure, and leisure. This place offers many recreational options ranging from ATV, paragliding, to other interesting tour package. This tourism destination, which is located at an altitude of 1,200 meters above sea level, offers beautiful views of Semarang Regency. Because it is located in the highlands, the surrounding air is very cool and comfortable, making it very suitable as a choice of place to relax. The icon of this tourist attraction is a swimming pool whose water flows from a natural spring, which is definitely cold and fresh. Many activities that can be done there are swimming, adrenaline rides, outbound activities, while enjoying the natural scenery. In addition, this spot also provides accommodation, playground, camping ground, and gathering facilities around the area. Besides, there is also a facility called Pondok Kopi Umbul Sidomukti, which offers a variety of coffee. For coffee lovers, in this place you can enjoy hot coffee while pampering your eyes with the cool view of the hills. Listener, the natural swimming park is another attraction that belongs to this tourism spot. Umbul Sidomukti has three terrace swimming pools with varying depths. The pool water comes from natural mountain springs, so it looks clear and refreshing. The position of the pool, which directly faces the back of Mount Ungaran, offers green views and Semarang County views seen from a height. Besides a swimming pool for adrenaline game fans, this spot provides a flying fox route that challenges your courage. This flying fox has a track length of 110 meters with a height of 70 meters. Another adrenaline challenging game you can explore at this spot is tandem paragliding. The duration in the air starts from 15 minutes to half an hour with a flying height of up to 1,700 meters above sea level and will land on the Sidomukti football field. Well, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Bandung, which means in Bandung. So, stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Jangan Mengebut, which means don't speed. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Annie, Chris' friend in a vlog community, when they will leave for Mount Tangkuban Perahu. Annie asked Chris not to speed when riding motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah Gunung Tangkuban Perahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya. Nanti, jangan mengebut ya, which means don't speed, okay? Nanti, which means later. Jangan, which means don't. Mengebut, which means speed. Jalanan, which means road. Menuju, which means toward. Kawah, which means cave. Gunung Tangkuban Parahu, which means Mount Tangkuban Parahu. Berkelok, which means winding. Naik turun, which means up and down. Menanjak, which means going up. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Nanti, jangan mengebut ya, which means don't speed, okay? In the sentence, there is the word jangan, which means don't. It states a prohibition. To prohibit someone to do something, the word jangan can be followed by the prohibited activity, such as mengebut, which means speed. Now let's listen to the other examples of using the word jangan to state a prohibition. Jangan membuang sampah sembarangan, which means don't litter. Jangan parkir di sini, which means don't park here. Mount Tangkuban Parahu is one of the natural tourist attractions in Bandung Barat Regency and Subang Regency, West Java Province, Indonesia. The name Tangkuban Parahu comes from the Sundanese words, namely Tangkuban, which means face down, and Parahu, or boat. The word Tangkuban Parahu can be interpreted as an overturned boat. In a local legend, the boat supposedly belonged to a young man named Sangkuriang that was kicked until it capsized. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Chris, nanti jangan mengebut ya. Jalanan menuju kawah Gunung Tangkuban Perahu berkelok.
Apakah naik turun juga?
Tidak, dari sini menanjak terus.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Oh, di kota kembang.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from South Sulawesi entitled Anging Mamiri. The song Anging Mamiri was composed by Bora Daeng Nyirate in the 1940s. This song expresses a person's longing for his lover. He asked the breeze to bring the message and hope to the window of his lover's house. Well, listener, please enjoy the traditional song Anging Mamiri by Eka Gustiwana and Yesil Trivena. Enjoy.
Angin mamiri ku pasang pitu cuwi tongtongana tusaro ata kalupa batumi angin mamiri.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.